We like to think motivation comes first, but science says the opposite. We're motivated to do what feels rewarding or meaningful. If we want athletes to build better habits, we have to make those habits appealing. Today, we're talking about how to connect habits to purpose, enjoyment, and identity. Welcome to Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. I'm your host, Valerie Alston, here to help parents and young athletes spark meaningful dialogue about mental toughness, resilience, and confidence. Whether you're headed to practice, a game, or just running errands around town, this podcast is your go-to for building stronger relationships and lifelong skills, one car ride at a time. Let's dive in. All right, y'all, you can probably hear I'm a little under the weather. My voice is a little froggy today. But that's okay. We'll drive on anyway, because I think this is going to be a great opportunity to learn a little bit more about habits specifically. As I mentioned, we're continuing on in this series for the rest of January, the series breaking down the core four behavior change laws that James Clear comes up with in his book, Atomic Habits. Again, I highly recommend the whole book. This is a Cliff Notes version, but today we really want to dive into a little bit more fully the second law of behavior change, which is if you're trying to make a habit stick, you need to make it attractive. You need to make it exciting, right? Something that people want to do. Now, if you're trying to get rid of a bad habit, you want to make it unattractive. Make it so it's something that doesn't align with who you are or is unappealing, all right? And so where this law comes from is really just diving into what's called the dopamine feedback loop in our brains and our brain chemistry. All right, if something is pleasurable for you, meaning enjoyable, you get a dopamine spike, right? And that dopamine spike tells your brain, ooh, that was fun, let's do that again. And when you do that again, you get another dopamine spike. So it creates a feedback loop that, hey, when I do this behavior, or when I engage in this activity, or when I do insert XYZ, I get that pleasurable feel of dopamine. I should keep doing that. So it not only releases when you experience that fun or pleasurable activity, but also when you're anticipating it. So it's the anticipation of a reward that can often get us to act in productive ways, okay? And so what we want to do, how we can use that in building better habits is what's called, James Clear calls it temptation bundling. And what this is that you're pairing an activity or action that you want to do with an activity or action that you need to do. And think of the need to do as the good habit. Whatever that good habit is you're trying to incorporate in your life, that's the need to do. But you can use the anticipation of the thing you want to do to drive the need to do. Okay, so a really fun example of this is if you've either read the book or watched the movie Ready Player One, the main character at one point, he's gotten out of shape and slovenly and all that. And so what he did is he made sure he rigged his Oasis equipment, virtual reality equipment, to working out. So it would not let him into the Oasis until he had done a certain amount of exercising. And so the thing he wanted was to get into the Oasis virtual environment to continue his quest, but he couldn't do it until he'd worked out. Like it literally wouldn't unlock. Okay, so that's obviously a bit of an extreme example in the sense of putting literal controls on the thing you want to do, but you can take from that idea. So if you are trying to, for me, for instance, get back into the gym a little more frequently than I have in the past year, maybe I put some sort of reward system in place that I can't eat this certain treat unless I've gone to the gym that day, right? And anticipating, oh, okay, I get to eat. I'm a dork and I like sugary cereal for dessert. I actually, on my shelf right now, I have this Mexican churro Cinnamon Toast Crunch, right, that I'm looking forward to eating, but I've promised myself that I don't get to eat it unless I do a workout that day. So it's something simple, but it creates that want, but it makes sure I do that, the behavior that I need to be doing for my health and wellness to do that, okay? Now, obviously it's pretty simple. What you're doing is you're talking about what's the habit I need, and then here's the thing I get to do if I do that habit, Okay. So what this might look like for your sports or some sort of workout or something that you need to be doing. This could be, let's say, when you should be doing your own drill work outside of your team practice. And so you're shooting for 15 to 20 minutes of drills, maybe in your garage, in your front yard, in the driveway, your backyard, whatever. But you're doing drills by yourself for your sport, whether that's for me as a softball player that was hitting off the tee and doing things like that. As a basketball player, maybe you're shooting hoops, whatever. But using that structure after I insert effective habit, then I get to, here's the thing I want to do. So maybe that's, I do drills, after I do drills for 15 minutes in the garage, I get to watch a little bit of ESPN. Or after I finish my homework, then I get to check TikTok for 15 minutes. After I do my conditioning workout, then I get to go hang out with my friends at this cool place, right? So any, what this structure allows you to do is that anything you want to do, doing the thing you need to do, gives you access to the thing that you want to do, okay? So you're engineering your environment, your habits, in a way that enables you to get the stuff done that you need to do to get access to those fun things, okay? Now, another thing that you can do is stack, combined with habit stacking, which is what we talked a little bit about last week. So habit stacking is after this current thing that I do, this behavior that's already part of my habits and my routine, then I will do the new habit that I want. You can combine all of this from last week and say, okay, after the current habit that I already do, so when I get home from school and eat my snack, then I will do my 15 minutes of drills. And after those 15 minutes of drills, I get the reward of getting on TikTok or doing something pleasurable, okay? So think about that as combining what we learned in week one is connecting your new habit to something you're already doing, but then also on the back end, giving yourself a reward or making it attractive by adding something that you want to do, okay? So that's one of the ways that we can connect to our motivation. Now, there's a couple other ways that you can make something pleasurable or attractive. And another way is through a sense of belonging. So as humans, we have three core psychological needs. One of them is to feel competent. The other one is to have autonomy. And the next one is belonging. And belonging is this idea that connecting to a sense of purpose or an identity that you have. And James Clear has a great quote in his book. He says, "We don't choose our earliest habits. We imitate them. We follow the script handed down by our friends, our family, our church, our school, or our local community or society at large. Each comes with its own set of expectations and standards." Okay? So what he's talking about here is that the people you're surrounded with inform your habits, okay? I imagine if you were raised by a dentist, you probably have really good dental hygiene habits because they taught you that at a super early age. If you were raised by a family who loves going to the gym, maybe you grew up seeing them going to the gym all the time, and so that's just part of your habits, or eating certain foods, or doing certain things, right? So behaviors and habits become attractive when they help us fit in with a certain group that we aspire to or that we belong to. And so what that means is you can leverage that by joining a group or thinking about the culture that you want to be a part of. What is the norm of that group and what is a habit that they would do? So this could be people that you aspire to be a part of. So for example, if you are a middle school athlete and you dream of being a varsity sport athlete at your school, right? I want to be part of that team. Okay, you can think about the group that you want to belong to, that you aspire to be part of, varsity football team or varsity softball team or volleyball team or whatever. And okay, how do they act? What are the behaviors that they do? I'm going to adopt some of those habits. Okay, that is one way to think about it. The other way is to literally surround yourself with those types of people. If you are trying to create a new habit around maybe a healthy behavior in your life, again, for me, that's pretty simple. I'm trying to get back into the gym more frequently. I need to surround myself with people who spend their time at the gym. And quite frankly, when I was at my very best going to the gym, all my best friends went to the gym. That's where we hung out. We did a CrossFit workout, so we'd all go to the same class time. We'd do the workout, and then we'd socialize after. That was really helpful for me. But because I'm part of a military community and all that, a lot of my friends have moved and all that kind of stuff. And so that's a part of why it's much harder for me to go. I don't have that same friend group to go connect with, okay? Among other things, that's just one factor. So thinking about how do you surround yourself with people that are doing the habit that you need to do. And so that could be as simple as joining a team of like-minded athletes. So maybe you are an athlete who's trying to figure out if you really want to take your sport seriously and make it at higher levels. If you're playing on a recreational league or a group of a team that's like, the goal of this team is just to have fun and learn the sport, which again, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's not what you want, surrounding yourself with people who are just there to have fun, it's not going to push you in the right ways. You're probably not going to get the challenge you need to grow as an athlete, okay? Whereas if you're on this super uber hyper competitive team and it's, I don't want to say cutthroat, that's not really what I'm trying to say, but it's really competitive, but that's not what you want out of the sport. You're truly in it just to learn and have a good time, then that's also a mismatch, right? And so the goal here is maybe trying to surround yourself with people that have similar goals or ambitions than you for your sport or maybe whatever habits you're trying to do. So this is really important, especially as a young athlete. Who you surround yourself with is really going to dictate the types of things that you get into and do. Okay. So if you're trying to be a straight A student, or maybe it's not straight A, but a really diligent student athlete where you get your work done, you learn, surrounding yourself with a bunch of slackers, people who don't want to do their work or don't pay attention in class, it's going to make it much harder for you to do that work because you're going to, it's part of the teenage brain. We gravitate towards being like a group. And if you've picked a group that isn't aligned with what you want for yourself, it just makes it so much harder, okay? So we would rather do a wrong thing and be part of an in crowd than do the right thing and go against the grain, right? That's part of our psychological makeup, okay? So one of the things that you can do to make sure that you're engaging in effective habits is making sure you're surrounding yourself with people that are aligned with those habits, that has an identity that they do those things too. And as somebody who's part of that group, it makes it so much easier to do those behaviors, all right? Now, if we're trying to get rid of a negative habit, you maybe do something where you get home and you just do the only behaviors you do is the want to behaviors. Like you just immediately hop on your video games and play until it's dinner time and you don't get any of your homework done. Okay, maybe that's a negative habit that you don't want to keep doing. It's getting in your way of being successful in school or maybe putting in the extra work for your sport. And so another thing that you can do to help make a bad habit unattractive is to think about, how does that bad habit misalign with who you want to be? So again, last week we gave the example like of being a career athlete as a way to define how serious you are about your sport and training for your sport. So if that's an identity that you align with and you're trying to get rid of getting home and playing video games the whole time, you have to think about, okay, if all I do is play video games, I'm not acting like a career athlete. I'm not doing the thing that I need to do to live up to that behavior. And so all of a sudden, this playing video games and doing nothing but that is no longer who I want to be. It's not aligned with that crowd that I want to be known for or that I aspire to. Okay, so you can try to associate your negative behaviors. You can start to see or point out how they're different than that in crowd or that group that you want either to be a part of or you aspire to be. And so really what we're trying to do here is make sure that you reprogram your brain for good behaviors. This is part of the identity that I want to be or become, or this negative behavior is not like who I want to be, okay? And that can help you really lock in and connect to what you're trying to do in whatever habit you're trying to build for yourself, okay? So let's dive into our questions today and give you some ideas. So again, just some quick rules or reminders of our conversations is that remember that there are no wrong answers. Take turns talking and listening. Try to minimize your distractions as best you can. And remember that you can pause after each individual question and discuss it, or you can listen to all of the questions and just answer the ones that make sense for you. Okay. What is something that you want to do every day and then something you need to do? And how could you pair those two together? So whether that need to do is something for your sport, maybe for school, as an adult, maybe it's something you need to do, a habit, fitness, wellness, something that you need to be doing. What can you pair together? What's something that you want and something that you need to do? And how do you put them together? Again, this gets you thinking about what's that reward that you can make attractive, that you can anticipate as a reward for doing the thing you need to do. Okay. All right. Next question. Who are 2 to 3 people you're around often who have habits that you admire? And how do you think those habits influence you? Okay. Again, this is for parents and kids. Who are the people that you're currently surrounded by, that exemplify behaviors that you admire or that you're trying to live up to? And quite frankly, a little caveat to that is there a behavior that you could maybe adopt from them? Is there a habit that you could start to take on yourself that they do? And again, this could be friends, teammates, older players, coworkers, anybody, okay? All right. Another question is, when you hear, this is about the reframing and thinking about the way you think about your habits. And it's a simple task of, instead of saying, I have to go work out or do drills, the idea is I get to be stronger and faster. Okay. So reframing your need to do work as an opportunity instead of some drudgery thing that you hate doing is an important part of making that habit attractive to you. And so what I want you to think about is, what is a habit that you need to do that you currently say, hey, I have to, okay? I have to assumes there's some sort of burden around that. It doesn't make it attractive. So instead, what I want you to think about is, what's the habit that you need to do? And I want you to reframe it as, I get to, or I am, what's the outcome of that behavior that you're gonna get? So again, let's say you're doing 15 minutes of drill work for your sport. I have to do my drills. No, I'm spending 15 minutes improving my craft, something like that, or working towards getting playing time, something along those lines. So what's a sample of that for you of reframing a habit that you know you need to do, but you don't currently think of as particularly attractive or rewarding? All right, our final question for today. What is one habit that you can make more attractive this week? And what would help make that habit feel more fun, more social, or maybe more rewarding? All right, again, we're trying to build that dopamine hit, if you will. All right, y'all, remember to keep those conversations rolling, and let's make those car rides count. Thank you so much for joining me on Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. If you found this episode helpful, please share it. Share it with somebody. Click subscribe, do something to get it out there more to more people. I would greatly appreciate that. Now, if you're looking for more weekly tips, mindset shifts, and conversation topics centered around mental toughness, resilience, confidence, please consider joining my newsletter at www.confidentcalmclutch.com/newsletter. And if you have any suggestions for future topics, please consider sending me a note. There's a link in the notes section, whether you're listening or watching. You can contact me directly. You can also find me on Facebook or Instagram at vialstoncoaching.com if you want to DM me with a suggestion. Thank you for joining me. There is a link in the show notes if you want to grab Atomic Habits and just start reading the book. I highly recommend it. There's also a link for the workbook associated that James Clear created associated with this book. There's so much more than what I've talked to you about today, but long story short, Let's work on those habits. Let's create some effective habits for the rest of you for this year. Have a good one. We'll talk to you later.